Thank you. I'm Stan. I'm an alcoholic. And Dave is right. It is a miracle that I'm here. Funny thing is me and him used to butt heads all the time. We almost got in a few fights. Almost threw a glass bottle of maple syrup at his head once at Village Inn. And that's funny. We started a meeting together too now, you know. And I've grown a lot because of Dave, you know, a lot. And I'll just leave it at that, you know, just so he could save face. But congratulations, meet again. I appreciate you're here. And the gentleman that I asked to speak with me tonight is this dude, man. This dude saved my life, you know. And he spent countless hours with me, you know, one-on-one, face-to-face. He's taken me through the steps. He's shown me what a selfish prick I am. And, you know, just showed me a new way of life, man. I didn't even know that that I could have what I have today. And I don't know. I asked him to be my sponsor a while ago because he told me the truth. And, you know, I'm not no one white chip wonder. I didn't just pick up one white chip and, you know, like the story in We Agnostics, this guy prayed on his knees and, you know, was engulfed by the Spirit of God and never drank again. That wasn't my experience at all. I had to pick up a few. And we used to do this thing called a house meeting. That was when this home group was about 15 to 20 people deep. We used to meet over in a basement at First Christian Church. And we used to get together and cook and stuff. And I didn't really care to cook or help out or anything. And I remember going to this house meeting, and there's Eric, Ryan A., Dave D., Mike Grouchy Ass, Mike West, and Jamie. She's not around anymore. But that was the only girl in the group, you know, so I really wanted to get sober, if you get my drift. And I remember just going around the room and just, like, judging everyone, like, just advertising how shitty your life was, you know, and that you were all full of crap. You didn't really feel good about sobriety. You didn't really feel good about life and blah, blah, blah. And they just kept their mouths shut, and when it was their time, they proceeded to tell me that I was wrong and that it was me in a roundabout way. Of course, they weren't as diplomatic as I am now. It was a little bit more abrasive. And this dude walks up to me and sits down next to me, and he goes, "You know, Stan," he didn't say keep coming back. He didn't say meeting makers make it. You know, he didn't say, you know, all these cute little cliches. He said, "You know, I'm worried about you, Stan." I go, "Yeah, why is that?" He goes, "I'm worried about you because you're going to drink again." You know, and I never heard that before, and I've been in AA for a while. And he was right. He was right. I was so pissed off at him that night. I couldn't believe he told me that. I was so angry. But he was right, because the truth hurts. You know, it hurts. You know, and that's what I needed someone to do, to tell me the truth. You know, no one had done that for me before. I don't even call this guy my friend. You know, and he told me that we weren't going to be friends, and I was going to hate him, because he's going to tell me the truth. He's going to do what no friend has ever done for me before in my life. And that was be completely, rigorously honest with me. You know, and now I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, if I would have bought into what, you know, some of the ideas that I had when I first got here, I would have, you know, I used to think it's bullshit when I heard it, you know. You know, I would have definitely as hell sold myself short, because I got way more than I bargained for. Way more. Way more. Without further ado, my sponsor, Eric.
My name's Eric Van Wyl. I'm an alcoholic. And, by the grace of God, I've been sober since January 3rd, 2002. And I have a home group, and I have a sponsor, and I have the privilege and opportunity to sponsor other men. And I'll thank God for that. And everything good in my life today is a direct result of a God personal to me in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, Stan saved my life. And that's the way it works. And I think he saved everybody's life that was around here at the time. We all nurtured him and loved him back to health. We all spent countless hours with our foot up his ass. That's what we did. And Stan was a tough case. But I don't know, I must have been pretty crazy because God put him in my life. And I'm, you know, very grateful for it. Congratulations, Stan. That's a big deal. 5 years. And you're right, nobody thought we'd see the day. And his family's here tonight, and that's a big deal. Because they didn't want nothing to do with him when he got here. Nothing. I mean, he ruined that relationship a long time ago. And that's one of the first things he wanted to do when he got sober again was repair that relationship. And I'm like, you crazy? I've watched him coming out of these rooms for probably a year and a half. And it took a while before he could repair that relationship. But a little bit about me. Well, first I want to congratulate everybody that picked up a white hug. That's a big deal. And it can be your last white hug. You know, you don't ever have to do it again. You know, you can stay sober. This thing does work. There's lots of proof around it in this room tonight. A lot. And a lot of people that came in here and sat in your seat and said, it's not for me, or I'm not an alcoholic, or everybody else is the problem, whatever it may be, whatever you're feeling tonight, everybody in here that has more than a day sober has felt that way. And we understand. People out there that don't have what we have, they don't understand. But we do. And, you know, we're not perfect people, even with decades sober, but we all try to live a better life. And, it'd be our privilege to try to help you live a better life too. So don't be afraid to ask somebody to be your sponsor tonight if you really want to stop hurting. Because there's a lot of good people here tonight that will do it. And this place holds a special place in my heart. I spent a lot of good years in Tampa, and it was fun. But congratulations, Mike. That's a big deal. I'm glad you're back. Thanks for the talk, Dave. And Dave and I grew together. There's no doubt about that. We lived together for quite a few years, and we get along great now that we don't live together. And just one to mix, I guess, but we grew together. But a little bit about my alcoholism, what makes me an alcoholic, is the first time I ever drank, I drank alcoholically. It was never functioning for me or anything like that. I come from a bloodline very thick of alcoholism. Some of them got sober. Some of them didn't. Some of them died from this thing. And alcohol fixed me. You know, it did something for me that it doesn't do for everybody. And it's what it does for me, not really what it does to me. And it made everything go, ah. You know, and I really didn't even know that everything was kind of crazy at the time. But when I look back at it and I hear everybody in AA talk about it, I completely relate to that, that I was just kind of different than everybody when I was a kid. And when I found alcohol, it made all that better. And everything in my life changed from that day forward. I proceeded to just chase it because it made me feel the way I wanted to feel. And I come from a small little town in Pennsylvania where it was reasonably easy to get my hands on alcohol. I hung out with a lot of older people. I did a lot of drinking in farm fields around the fire, a lot of drinking in the woods. And I woke up face down in a lot of farm fields in a blackout. I was a blackout drinker from day one. And like I said, I knew from the get-go that I was an alcoholic, that there was something different about me. The people I drank with, I knew that I got something more out of it than they did. I call myself an alcoholic, And I just, that's the way I wanted to live, and I chased it. And life got crazy for me quick. I rolled a truck down through a field when I was 17, came to in the field, found my truck upside down, smashed in a creek, and there's really no earthly reason why I tell you about it today. And I was DUI number one, and I was shortly after I graduated high school, I had my license back for about 2 months. I hit a telephone pole that was entirely too close to the road, DUI number two, and after that, I ended up in jail, and my mom came to see me in jail one day, and I could see that she, that just wasn't what she had in mind for her son. I was 18, and I crushed her, and I'm sure a lot of people in this room tonight have seen that look on their mother's face, and it sucks. And I told her that I wanted to live a different life, and that when I got out of jail, everything was going to be different, and I meant it from the bottom of my heart. I meant it. And when I got out of jail, I didn't pick up. I stayed dry for 90 days. I didn't change anything in my life. I didn't go to AA. Where I got sober at AA wasn't very attractive. It was a lot of older guys, and it just wasn't very appealing. It definitely wasn't this. And so I just didn't do AA. I figured I could white knuckle it. My father quit drinking after his first DUI. He just stopped. My mother was going to leave him. So he just stopped, and I was like, well, if he did it, I can do it. And about 90 days being dry, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I picked up and back off to the races I went. And I thought that that's what sobriety was. I thought that that's what people wanted me to do for the rest of my life. And, I had a lot of good times. I ended up going to college. I graduated college, and I really wouldn't turn any of it away. I don't wish I got sober the first time. I don't wish I continued that, because a lot of the experiences I had really helped me be of maximum use, here now today. Right before I graduated college, I prayed to my belief in God at that point for geographical direction in life. Like, where do I go look at for work when I get out of college? And wasn't even a week, I think I got my third DUI. And that was the direction. It was get sober. And I didn't want to get sober. I called my uncle up who's sober. He said, there's a rehab I went to. It's in upstate New York. Here's the phone number for the place. If you want to go, I can make it happen. And I called the place, and we set it up, and they wanted me to go right before the holidays to avoid the potential use. And I'm like, that's a little crazy, don't you think? Because I didn't want to get sober. At that point, I knew the deal with the court system, and I knew what I needed to do to make a judge look like I'm trying to get better. And I went to rehab, and I was there for 2 weeks. And the key to it is, while I was there, they told me, that I don't have the rest of my life to worry about, because I was very concerned about how am I going to go the rest of my life without ever picking up a drink. I was 21 at the time. I just became legal to drink. And how am I going to go the rest of my life without ever picking up a drink? And it seemed very impossible to me. And they said, you don't have the rest of your life. You have today, and that's it. Made a lot of sense. And now put things in perspective for me. And they told me, they gave me a big book. They told me to read the first 164 pages. And none of it really sunk in. And they told me I needed to find a power greater than myself. I needed to find God, because that's where the answer is. So about third day there, I hit my knees and I started having a chat with God. And, I just broke it down. Everything that I, questions, concerns, whatever it may be about, I didn't know what I was praying for. I felt completely awkward doing it. I was really scared my roommate was going to come in and see me on my knees praying. And just completely self-centered. But the deal is, I got up from that and I felt a sense of peace. I felt like everything was going to be all right. And from that day, my relationship with a power greater than myself, personal to me, has been built. And, I got out of rehab and I went back to live with my parents, because everything else was kind of ruined. And they said, if you can live with us, you can't drink. So I go back to AA, and it seems like It's the same way it was 5 years ago, almost like people sitting in the same seat, everything. And it's just, I'm 21, it sucked, you know. I did not want to be there. And I ended up getting a guy to be my sponsor, and, you know, he did what we do, and he got me in the steps right away, and it really didn't, it just wasn't clicking. And then one night, I wanted to go to a meeting, his kids were in town, so he told me I needed to call this other guy, and Will asked him to go to the meeting. I'm like, well, you know, I really don't like Will. And he's like, well, if you want to go to a meeting, you're going to call Will. I said, all right, whatever. You know, I was scared to death of this guy because he was completely unapproachable and just pissed off all the time. And he came and picked me up. We went to this meeting and completely awkward silence the whole way there. And he's Native American. We're listening to Native American music. It's just weird. And on the way home from the meeting, I started talking to this guy about the stuff that's been going on inside my head my whole life that I was convinced nobody else related to. Nobody understood the way I thought or the way I felt. And I could see it in this guy's eyes that he completely understood the way I thought and the way I felt. And then he proceeded to tell me so and share, you know, his insanity. And then he told me that there's a solution for it, and it's called alcoholism. You know, well, he told me what I have is alcoholism, and there's a solution for it, and it's in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he dropped me off that night, and he said, thank you. And I didn't know why he was thanking me. And, you know, I do now. You know, seeing Stan pick up 5 years, and I've had the opportunity to take, you know, quite a few people that are in this room tonight to the steps, and they've all had a big part in saving my life. And that guy's called me up multiple times on his anniversary and thanked me for helping him stay sober. And the deal is, he was so pissed off because he had no way to give this thing away. He had no way to do a 12-step in that small little town. You know, here you can't throw a rock without hitting a new guy. I mean, you've seen it tonight. I mean, there's tons of people around here to help. And don't take it for granted, because I have to give this thing away if I want to keep it. If not, I'm not going to stay. You know, and if I don't stay, the chance is I'm going to die, because that's what happens. I have alcoholism, and it is a fatal illness. And I forget that sometimes. I get caught up in the glamour and the fun of what we do here, and I get caught up in the gifts that AA's given me. You know, I have a great life today, and it's all because AA, and that can consume me and take me away from my primary purpose here, and that is to be of maximum use to God and my fellows. And if I stop doing that, and if I get off track, you know, if I stop helping people and seeing this thing work, like in people like Stan, you know, Stan, like I said, when he came in here, his parents wanted nothing to do with him. You know, now he's a son. Now he's a father for, you know, and he's a brother, you know what I mean? And he's an employee. It was none of those things when he came in here. And I wasn't any of those things when I came in here. I was a pain in somebody's ass when I came in here. And a lot of people can probably relate to that. And the deal is, slowly I started to get better. It took time. And I wanted it to get better immediately. I stopped drinking. I've been sober for 90 days. For Christ's sake, let me do what I want to do. You know what I mean? Give me my driver's license back. Let me go to Florida. You know, let me be. Let me make up for the damage of the last 10 years. I've done the right thing now for 90 days straight. You know, 3 months. And it doesn't work like that. It takes time. You know, and then after 2 years, my probation officer cut me loose, and I showed up here in Tampa, and I found a small little young people's group down the street there, and you know, a guy gave me his phone number, and I called it one night. I was celebrating 2 years sober, and I didn't have a ride to the meeting. I was crazy. I just moved here, and I was really heady and freaking out about what I was going to do, how I was going to get to the meeting, if I'd made the right decision moving here. Just the insane head. And I called once in the day, never called back. I called later, and you know, come to find out, Dave picked up the phone, and, you know, Dave and Billy came down and picked me up. And I don't know if that saved my life, but it definitely got me to the meeting that night. And after the meeting that night, I went and hung out with them. And I saw of what I thought was a dream that would never exist for me. Because for the 2 years I was in Pennsylvania, I was reading the grapevine a lot, and I was reading about young people's like meetings and conferences, and just like, man, do you think I'll ever get to live like that? Because at that point I'd had, you know what I mean, I decided I wanted to be sober and I wanted to do this thing. And I came down here and, you know, God put it right in my life. He took care of me. And I had the opportunity to watch this group grow, and I've had the opportunity to, you know, grow with a lot of people in this room tonight. And it really had a huge impact on me. Like I said, I got here, I had 2 years sober, and I left about a year and a half ago, and had the opportunity to get very involved with service. Had the opportunity to get a sponsor down here that really got me into the next level of a spiritual experience for me and a spiritual awakening. And, you know, he's no longer with us. But I owe a big part of my life to Greg Deloche. And because that's what this thing is. It's all about finding God. Without it, I won't stay. I wouldn't be here today. And that's what the steps are all about. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. It means I'm a changed person that I was when I came in here. You know, and there's some serious actions that need to occur there. Very humbling actions that I didn't want to take when I got here. No way. You know what I mean? I first sponsor said, you know, write everything down. You don't ever want to tell anybody. I'm like, you crazy? I don't want to write that. I don't want to tell you that stuff. And I've done it three times now with three different guys. And every time I grow a little more spiritually, you know what I mean? And then 6 and 7, I get to take a look at my character defects. And the funniest thing is I think that I can work on them, but I can't. It's all up to God. It's all up to me seeking the power greater than myself on a daily basis to get me closer, to help me become a better person. Because, you know, I'm 9 years sober and I'm still very flawed. I'm still very self-centered, very selfish. And it's a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of my spiritual condition and nothing but. I'm not guaranteed to pick up a 10-year medallion. And I'm really not. You know, if I stop doing this stuff and I stop seeking a spiritual life, it's going to stop for me. And through that process, I've been blessed with so many gifts. You know, seeing, like I said, seeing so many people in this room, their lives change and then become completely different people. Congratulations, Stan. Thanks for letting me share.